service led by the Reverend Claire Jaquis. Here on Radio 4, 92 to 95 FM, it's time for our new Book of the Week. My Life in Houses is the acclaimed author Margaret Forster's journey through the homes she's lived in and loved, from the council house of her youth to her North London home of some 50 years. Along the way, she contemplates what home means and why houses mean much more to her than just bricks and mortar. The reader is Sean Thomas.
I was born on the 25th of May, 1938, in the front bedroom of a house in Orton Road, on the outer edges of Raffles, a council estate. I was a lucky girl. Carlisle City Council had responded with enthusiasm to the King's speech of April 1919, in which he had said the only adequate solution to so many of the population living in inadequate housing was to build more houses for the poor. My parents couldn't be categorised as belonging to the poor, but the council was enlightened enough to realise that for the future health of the new estate, it might be a good idea to have a few young married couples just starting off, mixed in with families removed from the slums. My father, a fitter working in Hudson Scott's factory, at least qualified as a manual worker. My mother, who up to marrying in 1931 was a secretary in the health department, was strictly speaking a class above him. But, as all women did, she had to give up her job once they married. The idea was that Raffles should be a housing estate of the Garden City variety. It would be a model of its kind, and had just been completed when my parents moved into Orton Road in 1931. The house was semi-detached, with a garden on three sides. Inside there was a living room, a tiny back kitchen, two bedrooms and a bathroom, where there was a bath but no sink or lavatory. This could only be reached by going out of the back door and into the adjoining outhouse. I lived in Orton Road for 14 years. It was, by any standards, a good house for any child to live in. The fire always burned brightly, there was always food on the table, and that table was covered with a pristine tablecloth for every meal. Dishes were never left unwashed, floors never went unswept. Housework was hard, with no labour-saving devices whatsoever, but it was done with back-breaking efficiency. It was a good house to come home to, but by the time I was seven, I'd found ways of being in it as little as possible. The truth was, I preferred other houses, the ones which lay on the other side of Orton Road. Orton Road was a demarcation line. On one side was the Raffles Council estate, on the other were the privately owned houses. Directly opposite our house was the opening to Inglewood Crescent, lined either side with houses that had proper bathrooms, dining rooms as well as sitting rooms, kitchens with, for the 1940s, all mod cons, and upstairs three bedrooms. This crescent seemed to me to epitomise gracious living. The children living in these houses went to the same primary schools as we on the Raffles estate did, so I had friends among them. As soon as I got home from Ashley Street School, I'd be dashing over to Inglewood Crescent, where I'd collect them, and we'd go off to play in the disused tennis court behind the houses at the top of the crescent. Only when it rained heavily, or began to grow dark, did we go home. I'd usually manage to wriggle my way into one of the crescent houses for a short while, before crossing Orton Road to my own house. The attraction was the space. In our house, we five, my parents, me, an older brother and a younger sister, were all crammed into one living room, where we ate and sat, with the wireless nearly always on. In the Inglewood Crescent houses, there were electric fires in the different rooms, so family togetherness was not obligatory. I didn't see my longing for space as any rejection of my own family, just as a natural desire to have the chance not to be forced to be with others all the time. At 11, I passed the 11 plus and went to the Carlisle and County High School for Girls in Lismore Place. The building overawed me. Built in 1909, it was in the style of an Edwardian mansion and walking into this building every day thrilled me, especially going into the assembly hall with its stage and scholarship boards on the walls and the balcony running along one side. I marvelled at the vastness of the place. My fantasy was that it would become a boarding school, the fees paid by the council, of course. I was still at 11 years old, playing at my version of houses the way other girls played at skipping. It obsessed me. The game consisted of fixing upon an existing house in Carlisle's Norfolk Road, down which we walked to visit our grandparents. In this road there were double-fronted Victorian or Edwardian villas. I selected a house and moved out the people living in it. Where to? I had no idea, they were just evicted. I chose a bedroom at the back of whichever house it was, hoping that it looked out onto a garden full of apple trees. The walls would be plain white and the carpet pale green. There would definitely be a library, though I wasn't sure how to fit in shelves, whether they should go right round the walls or, as in the Tully House Public Library, be freestanding. Oh, problems, problems, all of them delightful. What I really liked was when our house was empty, except for me. This was rare. When the house was empty, reading took on a different quality. It was not a battle against noise and interruptions and general resentment at what was considered an antisocial activity, but instead an easy pleasure. It was always annoying when the rest of the family began arriving home. I'd disappear then upstairs to the freezing cold bedroom, but at least by then in 1950, and aged 12 and 9 respectively, my sister and I had graduated from the bed in the wall behind a curtain to the back bedroom, because our brother had gone off to do his national service. We still had to share a bed, but it was much more comfortable, and it was a whole room to ourselves. There was no space to fit in a desk or table, but I sat at the washstand to do my homework, as we all washed at the kitchen sink. Only visitors got the washstand treatment. Soon after we took occupation of this room, the art teacher at my school set as our homework the view from my bedroom window. I looked. It was a dreary view. The coal bunker, the rope washing line held up by two massive wooden props, and the backs of the nearest other council houses. All the flowers my father grew were at the side and at the front of the house. The wonderfully varied lupins and dahlias and snapdragons, which would have given me a whole paint box of colours to play with. If I painted the real view, all I'd need was grey, black and brown. Slowly I began to paint what I would have liked to have been seeing. A smooth, oval lawn came first, with an apple tree at the far end. Masses of gaudy flowers went in, all around the lawn, and in a moment of inspiration I managed quite a successful cat stalking across it. We had no pets. I handed in my homework with some pride, only to learn a shaming lesson. The best picture was painted by another girl, whose view from her window was far more depressing and dreary than mine. She obviously lived in a house with no garden, only a yard. There was a rusty old bicycle lying on the ground, and the colours she'd used were grey, a deeper grey, a pale grey, dark brown, and black. She had rendered the scene truthfully, and made a picture that was full of atmosphere and interest, however dismal. My own fantasy had been ridiculous. But then, fantasising or daydreaming was how I lived my life. The house I lived in kept trying to pin me down to reality, and I kept resisting and floating away. I wouldn't let Orton Road be all there was in life. I would not have people looking at me and thinking, "Ah, yes, Orton Road," reflected there. I never invited any of my high school chums to Orton Road. I didn't explain why. They didn't ask. It wasn't so much that where I lived embarrassed me, though shockingly it did, but that I couldn't think of what we would do once we got home. I didn't have a room of my own. But there was no reason whatsoever why I couldn't have brought friends home and stayed in the living room. My mother would have been friendly and polite, my sister would have sat quietly, and my brother and father would have been at work. So I was being stupid as well as snobbish. I even recognised my attitude as snobbish and knew it was a disgraceful thing, but I blamed the house for it, not myself. I was not, though, only imagining that by 1950 the Raffles estate had begun to have an unfortunate reputation. In the 20 years since it had been built, the estate had visibly changed. There were still houses like our own which were immaculately maintained, but there were also far more which looked neglected. There was a good deal of alcoholism which led to fights in some streets, and police cars regularly appeared on Friday and Saturday nights. There were other council estates in Carlisle, however. Long Sowerby was reckoned the best of them. This was where my mother wanted to move to, but moving at all when you were a Raffles tenant was a fraught business. So she started writing letters to the housing department of the council and at the same time looking for swaps in the local newspaper, scrutinising the Exchanges Wanted column. Then, suddenly, the possibility of an exchange came up. The tension in our house was terrific. "Count on nothing," my mother instructed us, but she was obviously hopeful herself. Finally, the exchange was agreed and a date fixed, and my mother set to making sure that we would be leaving Orton Road in sparkling condition. I don't know how she really felt about leaving a house she'd lived in for 21 years, ever since she'd been married. I was jubilant, but then I saw only the huge advantages and wasn't the slightest affected by nostalgia for the place. My mother inevitably had memories that made this humble house mean something to her that transcended bricks and mortar. Her own mother had died there. I'd been born there. I came across a remark in Howards End, many years after I left the house where I was born, which struck me as mad. A character in this novel says, "Can what they call civilization be right if people mayn't die in the room where they were born?" The idea of dying in that house in Orton Road, of wanting to die in the room where I was born, filled me with dismay. But I once, in the 1980s, went back there to do a feature for a colour magazine, one in a series called The House Where I Grew Up. There was no real surprise to find Orton Road quite different from how it had looked in 1952, when we left it. My father's beautifully tended garden had vanished. Indeed, a van had been driven through the hallowed hedge and stood on what was now a thicket of huge weeds. Bulging black plastic sacks littered the broken path around the side of the house, and the trellis that had been covered in climbing roses lay smashed on the ground. I've driven past the house since, but always rather quickly and sadly. I thought I had no feeling for it whatsoever, but I found the dilapidation and neglect troubled me. It seemed to symbolise something distressing, but I wasn't sure what. Maybe just the shame that such a once aspirational building effort seemed to have ended like this. At the time of that magazine photograph, the house where I was born and lived for 14 years looked condemned.
And tomorrow, Forster finally gets a room of her own as Sian Thomas continues reading My Life in Houses by Margaret Forster. It was abridged by Sally Marmion and produced by Justin Willett.
The Reith Lectures 2014 with Dr. Atul Gawande from Harvard Medical School.
My son was having trouble with feeding. And the puzzle is, why would a pediatrician fail to figure out what is going on with my son and fail to fix it?
The lectures begin by exploring the nature of fallibility.
What's the science of what's happening in that moment really mean for what the future of medicine is?
Why Doctors Fail, the first of this year's Reith Lectures, beginning here on BBC Radio 4, tomorrow morning at 9. Discover more online.
After the news, Woman's Hour turns Agony Aunt.